If you have your Bibles today, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Zechariah. So the easiest way, if you're not familiar with where that is in the Bible, is find Matthew and you go back to the left through Malachi and you'll find Zechariah. Now, I want to call your attention to these pieces of paper that you were given as a part of the bulletin today. One of the things that we're going to look at today is the Word of the Lord. And I want to start with the absolute most important thing I'm going to say to any of us who put something down on this piece of paper. Whatever we do, notice I didn't say you, whatever we do, we better do what the Lord told us to. All right? Now look, I know we live in crazy, mixed up times. And I know that we think that God is just we're just not the God of the Bible. But I'm going to tell us what we will regret most on Judgment Day. That is, if God tells us to do something and we don't do it. All right? Now, I want to say this, and I say this humbly from the bottom of my heart. A lot of people, if you read down through here, wrote down, God told me to read my Bible. And I want to just say this with as much from the bottom of my heart as I can. If you found the Lord telling you need to read your Bible, you need to go home and put your TV in the garage. You need to get out a pencil, a notepad, and you need to start reading in Genesis, and you need to find out why God's telling you to read your Bible. And listen, if God is telling us that we need to read our Bible, then we need to understand that don't mean two verses every time we think about it. If God tells us to do something, then we need to understand God is telling us there's something in that book we need. And if you go down through here, a lot of these have something about reading your Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of these that have, I mean, I'm thinking of the ones that I saw, you know, I need to go witness to my sister or that God's laid these two people in my heart. Don't let the sun go down today. Don't falsely assume, you know, you're going to live to be 104 years old. You know, if God told us to do something, notice I'm making it, I'm including myself. But if God told us to do something, we need to get chop, chop moving. And it doesn't need to be, you know, after whatever, or I'm going to do this first, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to get around to it. If we believe the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords spoke to us, we need to move. Like, we need to move. Like, it wouldn't bother me right now. If you picked your stuff up, put your thing in, and while I pray, you go get in the car and go do whatever God told you. I'd actually have a little bit of respect for you if you want to know the truth. Because we need to understand, when God speaks to us, my stars, who are we that God speaks to us? And when we know God has spoken to us, it don't need to be the 348th thing we do. I mean, it needs to go whoop to the top. So, anyway, so if I pray and y'all are all gone, I might just preach this message anyway. I enjoyed it when the Lord gave it to me. I've enjoyed Zechariah. We're going to keep going. If you would, look in your Bibles, and we're going to come back and forth across this. But I'm going to read in Zechariah chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 4 through 14. All right? And then we're going to go to 2 Kings, and then we're going to go to Amos. So we're going to take a small tour of the Old Testament here, especially in the two of them being in the minor prophets. I'm going to ask you if you're physically able to stand at the honor of the reading of God's Word. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 4, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Say to the people of the land and to the priests that when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? And should you not have obeyed the words of the Lord, which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were inhabited? And then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so that they could not hear. And yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened, just as he proclaimed, that they would not hear. So they called out and would not, so I called out and they would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with the whirlwind among the nations which they had not known. And thus the Lord, the land became desolate after them. So no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to the spoken word, God, I pray, Lord, that you will just fill this place, Lord. God, I pray that you will just continue to draw us to you. And God, I pray that as we open our Bibles, God, that we'll open our hearts and that you'll speak to us about the magnitude of your word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. We're looking at these passages of scriptures in the Old Testament. One of the reasons we're doing that is because in the Old Testament, God mainly spoke to his people through prophets. Now, I want you to think about something for just a second. Most of those people back in the day, you know, they never traveled more than 5, 10, 15, 20 miles from their home. If you did not live in the same town as a prophet, I want you to think about this for just a second. If you did not live in the same town as a prophet, you would go your entire life and never hear a word from the Lord. Now, you think about that, and then you look at these sheets of all these things that we wrote down. You think about how blessed we are to be able to say that God spoke to us. Now, when things changed, the prophecy was in Joel chapter 2. And Joel prophesied that there was going to be a day when God's Spirit was going to be poured out on people and men and women, that they were going to be able to prophesy and that men would see, have dreams and see visions, and God was going to pour out his Spirit on us. And one of the main reasons that I believe that the Lord led us to these passages in the Old Testament today is I believe that today we're more similar as a nation, the United States, not necessarily the church and the world as a whole, but I believe we're much more similar to people in the Old Testament than we are people in the New Testament. And I'm going to tell you why. The reason is because in the Old Testament, they all knew what God wanted them to do, but... Right? They all knew. They knew what was going to happen if they didn't, but they knew what God had told them to do in order to be blessed, but. And I would offer to you that if you took the knowledge of the 135 people that are in this room right now, you put that knowledge together, you know what we would all, we would know without any doubt what God wants us to do, without any doubt. But you know what the problem is? We're busy. You know what the problem is? We got things to do. You know what and what happens is we never get around to God's word. So look in Zechariah chapter 7. I want you to just think about how important it is for us to know that God has spoken to us. In verse 4, the Bible said, "Then the word of the Lord of hosts," and the word host means God Almighty. That word Lord, when all four letters are capital, that's the great I am. So this is the great I am, the God that's always been, the Lord God Almighty came to me. Now I want to ask you again. I know I'm repeating myself, but hopefully it's for a purpose. Could you honestly say that God has spoken to you? Could you honestly say that the Lord, the I am, the God that spoke to Moses and said, I always have been, I always am, and I always will be, and I'm almighty, and that God has spoken to your heart, but yet you can't really decide if you want to do it or not. You can't really decide if it's more important than whatever we might have going on in our life. And he came and said, in verse 5, he said, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priest, you fasted for me, you mourned for me in the 5th and 7th months during those 70 years." The people had been in captivity when this was written for 70 years. And for 70 years, 2 months out of the year, for 70 years, they had had a fast. The fast celebrated the fact that the city was destroyed. And then the second fast in the second month was the holdouts of the people, the last ones that were remaining in the land before they were overrun. And for 70 years, they had been fasting. And you know what God said? Are you really doing that for me? And my question to us today is, and notice I said us, not for you, but for us, are we doing this for God? Are we doing this for ourselves? Are we here to do what God wants us to do? Are we here to do what we want to do? And we all have to answer that individually. And what the Lord said to them in verse 6, it says, "When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves?" In other words, God knows our reason. Verse 7 says, should you not have obeyed the words of the Lord, which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous from the south and from the lowlands were inhabited? And this is what God says. God says, for 70 years, you've been trying to mourn and fast about something that could have been prevented. Now, I want to say this. When we say that the word of the Lord has come to us, we have to realize the responsibility that we have to do what God said. I have said many times leading up to this list, the Rankin County needs to see the divine. Rankin County is not going to see the divine unless they see it through people who have a relationship with the divine. And this is the one thing that I've said and I will say to my last breath. The church in the United States of America is dying. It's really dead, but just because we live in the South in the Bible Belt, we may or may not agree with that statement. But nationally, the church in America is kaput. There's not going to be very many generations. There's not going to be a Christian living in America. It's happening right now, happening every day. Every day the senior adult population dies off and every day somebody's born. Listen, we're just sliding in time right to being a godless nation. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a remnant of people. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to fast for the last church. And you know what God is going to say when they fast for the last church? I hope that he gathers us up in heaven and say, you do know that's your fault, don't you? That's the question. It's our fault. You know why? Because we won't do what God says. And we want to blame people who have no idea who God is. We want to blame the judgment of this nation on them. And it's not their fault. You know who is responsible for this nation spiritually? Christians. No, I pointed right to myself. We are. And we have to realize the responsibility that we have. In verse 8, here comes the word again. The Lord spoke to Zechariah, and thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widower or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. All right, now, I'm not going to put an age group on verses 11 and 12. I would like to ask the parents, and I'm sure that nobody in here is going to agree. Is there any parent in here that ever had a defiant child? Anybody in here? Why are these mothers looking at their children? Do you know what verse 11 is? Verse 11 is the definition of a defiant child. But they refuse to heed. Have you ever said to someone, would you please just listen? Come on, mamas. Right? Would you please just listen? Can you not hear God saying that to the church in America today? Yes. Would you please just listen? Oh, I love this. But they refuse to listen. Shrug their shoulders. Right? Don't parents love it when some 13-year-old that knows everything goes, whatever. Don't they? I will say this, and I say this in all honesty, and I'll do whatever the Lord tells me to do, but I hope it don't involve a 13-year-old. I apologize to any 13-year-old that's in here, but I have been there and done that. Whoo! Right? They just shrug their shoulders. And then, is that what we do to God? I believe God is screaming at us through his word. Please do what I ask you to do. And I believe we go, it's not really convenient today. And in verse 12, this is what happens when we don't listen and when we don't heed the voice of the Lord. He said, yes, they made their hearts like flint. Notice it says they made their. That's what happens when we don't obey God. Our hearts become hard, refusing to hear the law, the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by the Spirit through the former prophets. And what happens when we let our hearts get hard, we don't heed the law. The Bible says, thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And verse 13 says, therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, they would not hear, so they called out. And the Bible says, I would not listen. All right. Y'all, we have to acknowledge, again, I put myself at the front of the responsibility for this. But at some point, we're going to call out to God, and you know what we're going to get back? And that's what we're going to get back. You know why we're going to get that back? Because we let our hearts become like flint. We let our hearts get hard. And notice what he says in verse 14. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations, and they had not known, and thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned. And then this is what they did to God's blessing. The Bible says, for they made the pleasant land desolate. All right. In Malachi, there's a verse that says that your blessing has been replaced with a curse. And what we have to realize is there is a truth in the Bible. It applies to marriage. It applies to children. It applies to jobs. It applies to church. It applies to any relationship. If we do not do what God says in a certain area, that thing that started out a blessing will wind up a curse. Now, in all the weddings that I've had the opportunity to do, and I don't know how many it is, it's not tens of thousands, but I've done my share, I have never seen two people stand before the Lord and say, we don't think this is going to work out very well. Right? You know what they say? Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. And you try to say, but, you know, if you just look around at society, it's, oh, it don't matter. This one's going to be different. And that difference usually lasts about 10 minutes. Because the devil wants that blessing to turn into a curse. And if there's not two people committed to having that blessing, it is going to become a curse. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, this is what the Bible says in verse 15. It says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not heed the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and statutes which I have commanded you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then it just goes on verse after verse, but it says, cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the country, cursed shall you be in the basket and the kneading bowl. And you know what God is telling us? If we do not do all that's written in the book of the law, you don't have to move because these curses, it's like a water that floods over a land. That water, that flood is going to come, and it is going to be as a direct result of our disobedience to the Lord. And so what, turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. What I would like for us to realize is our blessing does not have to turn into a curse. And I would offer to you while you're turning to 2 Kings chapter 22, there's one thing you can always mark down. If you have something in your life that you know at one time was a blessing, and that blessing turned into a curse, go find the problem. You don't have to look very far. You can biblically find what happened pretty quick. It may not have been your fault. It may have been somebody else. And it may not be something you can do anything about personally, because what happened is between them and the Lord, but you can find it real easy because the devil wants to turn every blessing into a curse. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 22, we're going to look where the word of the Lord was rediscovered. I offer to you today that what we collectively as a group need to do is rediscover the word of the Lord. If you look back in 2 Kings chapter 20, 21, it's the passages that talk about Hezekiah when he was the king. And he was probably the best king that the nation of Israel ever had, or at least one of. And then he had a son, and his son's name was Manasseh. And he was the picture of bad. He was awful. And he had a son named Amon. And Amon only ruled for 2 years. But then there was a kid named Joash that became king when he was 8 years old. And this is what's astounding about Joash. This dude had enough sense to know we need to get back to doing what God said. So then it had been some 55, 60, 65 years where nothing about the Lord was put forward. And so they decide they're going to get rid of all the altars, all the temples, all the things where they worshiped idols. And what they're going to do is they're going to reopen the house of God. And this is what happened. In verse 8, 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8, the Bible says, "Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.'" All right, so you know what they had lost? They had lost the book of the law. They had lost to them what would be equivalent to our Bible today. They had lost that. And so the Bible says that Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. In verse 9, "So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, 'Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and delivered it into the hands of those who do the work to oversee the house of the Lord.'" And then Shaphan the scribe followed the king, showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest gave me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. And now it happened that when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes." And then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Akbar, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, the servant of the king, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book which has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of the book to do according that all is written concerning us." When I read this passage of scripture, I thought about an individual that I knew that had cancer, and he, for whatever reason, he had spent most of his adult life. At one time, he was a deacon in the church, if I'm not mistaken. And at one time, he had spent most, because something happened, he spent most of his adult life away from the Lord. And he was diagnosed with cancer. And so it was through a church member, and so he was his father. And so I went over there, and I asked him about a Bible. And I have never forgotten this. He said, "Yeah, I have a Bible." And he went to another room, and he came back, and he was looking at his Bible, and he went and blew the dust off that Bible. And I've never forgotten that. Because do you know what we collectively as a group need to do? And we need to get this book out. And we need to realize that this is a sword. I've been messing with a barbed wire fence. I can show you what happened. You know what happened when you mess with a barbed wire fence? You're fixing to give blood. That's what you're fixing to do. You're fixing to get eat up. And why do we think we can play with this sword and not get cut? And I would like to ask you, when is the last time you got nicked? When's the last time you opened your Bible and went, "Ooh, that hurt. Ooh, that's going to leave a scar." And I would like to ask us, where have we read in the Bible that that's not what's going to happen? But what I offer to you is, we have the Bible, but we've lost our desire to apply it. I would say to you that at the end of that verse, they realized at the end of what I read, they realized this is not going to end well. We better get to doing what's in the Bible. And what I would like for us to do, and again, I said us, I'm pointing at myself. I would like for us to say, "I'm not going to read my Bible without doing what it says. I'm not going to come to church without doing what I learned. I'm going to apply it to my heart." Because that same passage in Deuteronomy chapter 28 says this, "And now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I have commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. And blessed you will be in the city, and blessed you will be in the country, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock." You know what God wants us to do? be blessed. But God cannot bless a mess. And we have to be willing to line ourselves up with what God says. This morning, I like to stop at that Shell station up there. There's a bunch of old men in there. I like to just hear whatever nonsense they have going on. And I stopped up there this morning. I have it more than anything else to get a cup of coffee. And there was this young lady in there, and I really feel like, and I say this as a confession, but I really feel like I miss God. I don't know if she'd been to bed yet. I don't know. She looked like she'd had a pretty rough night, my take of her situation. But when I walked in, her purse was at the counter, and she was standing over the trash can, and she was just pulling off those things. Apparently, they sell something, and I say this because I don't know, that you can buy, but if you buy the lucky thing, you win something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so she's standing over there, and of course, when I got that coffee, I was right by her, and I could see what she was doing. And I said something to her, and she said, "Yeah, I really need to be lucky today." And I just thought about after I left, I said to her, "Well, I gave up on luck a long time ago." And I just wonder if the Lord didn't tell me to stop at that Shell station and put that woman there for me to tell her about the truth of God's word. To tell her, "I know you had a pretty rough night. I know you've had a pretty slow start to your morning so far. But listen, it's not about luck. As a matter of fact, I would offer to you that I personally try not to say that word because I don't believe in luck. I believe in the God of the Bible. And if I trust in the God of the Bible, I won't be standing at a trash can peeling things off hoping something's on there to make whatever money that I spent to get them worth it." And folks, that didn't happen in Baghdad. You know where that happened at? Brandon. That happened this morning in Brandon. And so we then have to ask ourselves, what did that say about us? I mean, I know we can't physically be responsible for every decision that every person makes. But at the end of the day, don't we at least want to be salt and light? Don't we at least want people to know it's not about luck? It's not about luck. It's about a relationship with the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Almighty. He's the one that takes care of us. But it all goes back to our willingness to live in obedience. Turn in your Bibles. We're going to go back to Amos chapter 8. This is our final passage that we're going to look at today. But when you look at these two passages, and we're going to look at this last one in Amos, and it's about the Lord and His Word. But I hope when we talk about these things, that you realize how fortunate that we are to be able to say that the word of the Lord came to us. Because there is no greater privilege than to be able to say that the word of the Lord came to us. Look in Amos chapter 8. If you need to glance at the front of your Bible, I totally understand. I do at one time did know all the books of the Bible. The problem that I run into, there, when you get a one-page letter, it only is one page in the Bible. If you can miss that thing. So if you need to glance at the front, it wouldn't hurt my feelings. But Amos chapter 8, "The Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, 'Amos, what do you see?' And he said, 'A basket of summer fruit.' And then the Lord said to me, 'The end has come upon my people Israel.' And then God said, 'I will not pass by them anymore.'" All right, and so when this is the last vision that Amos had, and in his vision, what he saw was summer fruit. And what that reflected was the fact the growing season had come, the summer fruit is in, the next thing that's happening is fall and winter. And so the growing season has closed out. And in verse 9, "And it said, 'And it shall come to pass in the day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight, and I will turn your feast into mourning and your songs into lamentations. And I will bring sackcloth on every waist and the baldness on every head. And I will make it like mourning for an only son and its end like a bitter day." All right. So God is telling to the nation of Israel, through Amos, something bad is going to happen. And it's going to be worse than anything you could ever imagine. And that's what God is telling them. And in verse 11, this is what the Lord says. The Lord says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but hearing the words of the Lord." Now, when we look at verse 11, we have to realize that God was about to remain silent for 400 years. That's what they estimate the time between Malachi, who's the last prophet of the Old Testament, and when John the Baptist, when the Lord started speaking about John the Baptist. It was 400 years. Now, could we comprehend 400 years without hearing from the Lord? 400. And God said there's about to be a famine on the land. And the famine is not for bread, the famine is not for water, but it's for hearing of the words of the Lord. And in verse 12 says that they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In other words, they're going to be looking everywhere for it. They're going to want to know what it is, but they can't find it. And then in that day, the fair virgins and the strong young men shall faint from thirst. And those who swear by the sins of Samaria, that was a golden calf they worshiped, who say, "As your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again." And that is exactly what happened. People were running everywhere looking for a word from the Lord, but they could not find it. And because of the sins of the people, God had brought the destruction on the nation. And I want to ask you to just stop and think for just one second how fortunate we are to know that God speaks to us. Amen. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And he said, "I know them. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish." Listen, we are blessed beyond measure. All right? I want you to turn in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just want you to look at this. This is our invitation. This is where we've come to the close, the crossroads, or the crux of this message. I would like for us to answer this personally as our invitation. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, this is Paul, he's writing to a young preacher named Timothy, and he said, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long sufferings and teaching." And then this is it. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Has Grace Baptist Church reached that point? I pray that we hadn't. But do we do everything that God says we're supposed to do? We have to answer that. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And you know, when we answer the questions honestly, we have to honestly ask ourselves, do we truly want to hear from the Lord? Because we have to acknowledge that when we hear from the Lord will hurt our feelings. The Lord will go straight to the heart of the matter. Whatever the sin is, the Lord's going to go straight to it. Amen. And what we have to then ask ourselves is, do we have itching ears or do we have a seeking heart? But you know what? You can't have both. Amen. You cannot have both. And so then what we have to ask ourselves is, what do we want to be and what do we want to do? I want to say one more time before we go into our invitation, because I do not want to ever cause anybody to sin. I want to say to everybody who put something on this paper, be it a committee, a ministry team, there's one on there for the staff. We had a good time coming up with that. But if you put something on this paper, I want you to hear me say, I started with it and I'm going to end with it. Whatever you do, do not fail to do what God said. You make that your number one tip top priority. Listen, for those of you who put 10 Bible study more, hey, next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, Wednesday night at 6:30. You know, and listen, please don't be cavalier with God. Do not let some preacher ask you to write something down. You didn't think about it. You didn't pray about it. You wrote something down. And now this is where you are. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, some of the greatest verses in the Bible. The Bible said, it is better not to vow than vow and not pay. God has no pleasure in fools. Now listen, I know the ones that I put down here. I know the ones that I put down here. And I've already been, I am not going to let myself not do it. Have you ever heard the expression, I will do it or die trying? You ever heard that expression? You know where we're at as a church? It's time to do it or die trying. It is time for us to decide in whom we believe, and then what do we believe about the one we believe in. And then we need to get busy. So we go into this invitation. I know that it's not one that calls for a great public response. I have no problem with that. The word says what it says. Because each one of us is going to make a decision about what we do. Now, last part of the invitation. If God did not speak to you, that's a massive problem. Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And listen, there's two things you got to work out. One, either you didn't ask him, which is not good. Or two, you ask him and he didn't answer, which means you're not saved. All right? And so, during this invitation, you need to, before the Lord, decide whether you just completely blew it off and didn't ask, and so there's no harm, no foul, or if you ask God and he didn't speak to you. Because listen, we have a relationship with a living God. When I share my old story over at the rodeo, I like the word, when I share the gospel and after 3 days he arose, I put me a little commentary in there because I believe it. We have a living Savior, not a dead Savior. And you know what a living Savior does? Living Savior talks, speaks. You know what a dead Savior does? Nothing. That's why he's dead. And we have a living Savior. So, you find your place, whatever you told the Lord you would do. When we stand before the Lord and I give an account for this message before the Lord, I want the Lord to say, you told him like 700 times, do whatever you told God you would do. Is everybody there? Oh, everybody do their head like this. I do not want to, because I got stuff on here myself. I'm doing my head like this. Don't fall into the trap. Okay? And the trap is make this grandiose promise to God and then don't do it. Not how it works. Not how it works. Okay. I can always tell when y'all had enough. I'm going to pray now while we're still friends. Father God, as we bow before you today, God, first and foremost, I want to thank you for speaking to our hearts. God, I want to thank you for this, just the truth of your word. And God, there, you prove that you're the good shepherd because your sheep hear your voice. And God, we are blessed beyond measure to live in this time when your spirit has been poured out on men and on women. And Lord, God, I pray that we would rejoice in that. But at the same time, I pray that we would understand the responsibility of that. So God, as we go into this invitation, Lord, I know that this is not a message that really calls for a public response, but at the same time, I pray that we would realize that this altar is just a place that we can come and just leave everything behind us, and we can just kneel down and just do business with you. And so, God, I pray that our greatest desire is, Lord, what we started with this morning, to God be the glory. And I pray that this invitation would be the opportunity for us to give you glory by making a commitment in our heart. We're going to do what we said. We're not going to just mess around, but we're going to make what you told us to do our number one priority. But we're going to do it not because we want you to love us more, but we're going to do it for your glory. So, God, we love you and pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.